Okay, I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for September 13th, 2022. On the roll call, I'm sorry, first item on the agenda is the roll call. Management, can you please lead us through?
We have Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
Leslie Connolly, City of Austin.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
John Greiner, Austin ISD.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Harold Nall, UT.
Present.
We have Gunnar Sequist with Bickerstaff Heath Delgado Acosta.
I am here.
And joining us from Austin Energy, we have Oliver Higgs.
I'm here.
And we have Greg Flay.
Here.
And we have one more from Austin ISD joining us, our new alternate board member, Mike. And I'm sorry, can you please pronounce your last name for me?
Lohrstorfer.
Lohrstorfer. Thank you. Dane, we have a quorum.
Thanks, Sarah. Moving on in the agenda, agenda item number two is citizen communication. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
Okay, and then moving on to item number three, Austin Energy Processes, Communication, and Collaboration. Greg, I guess I will turn it over to you. Unfortunately, Frank is not here today due to a family matter, but I know that you and he have had some conversations recently about some of the challenges Gatton has had. Do you want to take the floor?
Sure. Thank you, and thanks for the invite to attend this meeting. So in conversations with Frank and with Chris Stewart, it became evident that it might be helpful to at least have Austin Energy's attendance and observer status with the board meeting and potentially also with the technical committee, subcommittee as well. So that's kind of the basis for me being here. Is to improve basically liaison with the board and hopefully improve communications back and forth between the board and Austin Energy. to that end, we've had a number of questions around pole attachments and processes and things like that. I have Oliver Higgs from Austin Energy here to walk us through a presentation basically explaining what pole attachment services is and how the processes work. We have some time frames and so forth in that process flow as well. So that's okay with everyone. We can launch into that. So
that
Oliver,
good.
Okay. Are you able to share, Oliver?
Yeah, I am. Sarah, is that all right if I go ahead and share my screen now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Can everyone see my screen?
Yep.
All right. Thank you again. My name is Oliver Higgs. I'm the supervisor in the Pole Attachment Services Group, and we wanted to provide you a quick overview of Pole Attachment Services and what we do. Here's an outline. And we'll start with a safety moment. We'll cover an overview of pole attachment services. We'll cover the application process, an explanation of make-ready work, the applicable rules and regulations, and then pole attachment services contact information. And at any time, please feel free to stop me, ask questions, and we'll get those addressed. All right, so for a quick safety moment, as you see in this image, this moving truck was pulling through the driveway and caught a low cable, this low communication cable, ultimately resulted in the damage you see to your right. It snapped this pole in half. It also caused our transformer here to drop off the top of this pole and land right here by the sidewalk. So that really triggered us to make significant changes associated with our pole attachments and how they're managed. One of those changes was that we increased the required mid-span clearances from 12 feet to 15.6. That clearance would be here in between the poles. So that would increase this low wire here and prevent and minimize this incident from occurring. We also implemented Section 6 of the Utility Criteria Manual to establish standards for our communication attachments to Austin Energy poles. And then we increased our post inspections of attachment installations. And we've found that even though we go through this rigorous application process and ensure that everyone has an understanding of where to attach on the pole, the contractors that are actually doing the installation were not installing in accordance with the approved application. So we've increased our post inspections and correct those issues that we find in the field. Any questions? All right.
A quick question. The change in the mid-span height, how long has that been in place?
It's been in place for a little over 4 years now.
Okay. And so does that follow the NESC guidelines, or is that beyond the NESC guidelines?
It does. It just depends on the situation. There's NESC guidelines cover a broader span. So if there's an area where it's only trafficked by pedestrians, that height is lower. But within the city of Austin, you see we're popping up driveways all over the place. So while at the moment it may be a pedestrian only, where the clearances could be lower, we've just made a across the board 15.6 for all mid-span clearances. That way in the future, we don't have to deal with this issue.
So does that imply if Gatton needed to replace a fiber cable where, you know, pedestrian traffic is only the only traffic, there's no driveway and they're at 12 feet, we would have to do make ready to get all the other providers up to 15 and a half feet?
Not all of the other providers. It's really more based on Gatton's specific cable and where that placement is going to be. But if there is communication make ready where we were to try to lower the comms to make an addition, make a room for another cable, then yes, that make ready would need to happen. We're not going to put someone in violation to make accommodation for an attachment.
Okay.
And with all of these, you know, situations, they're all going to be based on field conditions. So if there is something out there that, you know, is always going to be a pedestrian walkway, we have leeway within these guidelines to make accommodations. And I again reiterate to Frank was on, we've had multiple discussions about this, but anytime there's an issue where maybe there's an opportunity to review it and make that decision based on the field conditions for that particular.
Pardon the interruption. I just want to note for the record that Robert Sadler with LCRA joined the meeting at 1:37 p.m.
All right. So for an overview of what this group, my group actually is responsible for, we process applications and manage the third-party pole attachments. That includes wireline, the fiber attachments, and also the wireless small cell infrastructure that is attached to Austin Energy poles. We do the contract management, we enforce the rules and regulations, we process the applications. We also internally do our own design work for make ready and new electrical services. Our group also is responsible for its own billing and we provide customer service and support. The infrastructure rental side of the business, this is our macro cell tower sites that we have inside of our substations. This typically doesn't involve Gatton, but in the event that you needed to attach something to a monopole inside of our substation, we would also be the group responsible for processing that. Okay, so this is our pole attachment application process. And feel free to stop me again if I'm going too fast through this. We start off at step one, the applicant submits a pole attachment application. This is done through our external facing website. utilize a online form, and that is submitted directly into our work queue. We have a group that is dedicated to doing a completeness check and an internal review of the application to ensure it's filled out correctly, all the required documents, the maps, the application itself, ensuring that everything is filled out correctly so that we can process that into the field, move that to the field inspection site. So that first step is the completion check. Does it pass? If it's no, the application is rejected and is sent back to the applicant with corrections. That's one area I'd like to highlight. We find often that we send back an application requesting corrections, and then we'll get the same application back without the corrections being made. So then it goes through the same process, and it will cycle through that process until the applicant makes those changes and corrections. So just ensure that whoever's submitting applications on your behalf, ensure that they're taking those corrections and guidance that AE is providing, and make corrections when needed. If and when that application passes the completeness check, it goes into our filed in with our inspection work and is scheduled for review out into the field. A field inspector is out looking at the pole, looking at the application, the requested work, checking all the field conditions, and this is where they're determining if electrical make ready is needed or not, or if the comms can be rearranged in a way that would accommodate a new attachment or the work that's being requested without electrical make ready. So that's where the point they're making that determination. If there is electrical make work needed, it goes into our design queue and is designed based on what the field inspection found.
Hey, Oliver.
If it does not, yes.
Oliver, yeah. Looks like we got a couple hands out. I think one from Dane was the first one to raise.
Yeah, the question is, have you ever received an application that you asked to make corrections from Gatton and received the same application back?
We have.
Okay. Do you have details on that, or?
Oh, we can certainly get them and share them with you. Absolutely. I don't have a specific application now, but yeah, we can certainly get that information for you.
I'm not asking you to make miracles, but if you have any documentation, if you could shoot that over to me, I'd appreciate seeing that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we can get that over to you.
Thank you, Oliver.
I think Leslie had a question.
Thank you. And I apologize if this question sounds very elementary, but the application process, is that electronic? Back to the customer that applied on status?
On status, no, there's nothing on status. We do make available, though, a status sheet that is updated in real time. So Gatton or their contractor are welcome to view that at any time.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. All right. So like I said, if there isn't any make ready needed for that application, it's approved and sent back to the applicant. The applicant then has 120 days to complete the installation per the approved application. We'll go back over here. If it does require make ready, it's designed by our internal folks within pole attachment services. That way, that work is not mixed in with AE's normal business by applying by providing electrical service. So this is a dedicated resource to just doing electrical make ready designs. We do the design and then we send the applicant a quote for the make ready work. The applicant has 90 days to pay that quote. This is another point that we want to emphasize on. This, once the applicant receives the quote, it is solely up to the applicant and how long they take to pay that quote. So we can process these faster if payments are made in a timely manner. And so if the applicant does not pay the quote, that application is denied. because that pole would not be suited for a new attachment or the work that was being applied for. Application would be denied and applicant is welcome to reapply and go through the same process again. If it is paid for, it goes, is released to AE Crews to complete the electrical make ready. It's almost unique in a way to Gatton. Gatton utilizes AE Crews to complete electrical make ready work. Most of our pole attachers utilize a qualified electrical contractor. And by utilizing a qualified electrical contractor, you have more say over your projects. You get to set priority of what electrical make ready jobs are done and in what order. Whereas if it goes to an AE crew, it falls in with all the normal work that AE does. So we don't have a dedicated resource for doing electrical make ready on the construction side, but we do offer a qualified electrical contractor list that Gatton is welcome to engage with any of those contractors and can do this electrical make ready work. Once that electrical make ready work is completed, it is again, the approved application is sent back to the applicant and the applicant has 120 days then to go do their install. After the 120 days is over, AE goes out and reviews the application, the post inspections we spoke about earlier in the safety moment. We do a post inspection. The field inspector, you know, does it pass the post inspection? If yes, the application process is complete. If it's no, we would send back to the applicant the needed corrections. They have 30 days to correct those. If they made the corrections within that time frame, then the application process is complete. If they didn't, those attachments will become deemed unauthorized. And then there's a whole unauthorized attachment remedy process that we would then go to follow. I know that's a lot. Any questions or anything else I can take a deeper dive into?
Yes, this is Dane. I have another question. So the timelines that we're looking at, those are cumulative, correct? These are not happening in parallel. So
they're not happening in parallel, right? And these are max times. These are max time frames. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily take that full time.
Up to the beginning, Austin Energy reviews the application. That takes up to 45 days. Right.
Correct.
And then if electrical make ready is needed, that takes up to 45 days for the design. And then obviously the orange items are on the applicant. So up to 90 days and then up to 365 days. So have you ever had situations where you've not made the 45 days?
Not on the application review. We've come close to the 45 days. I don't think we've ever gone over though. But the design is really dictated on how large of scope of project it is. Typically make ready jobs require 5 to 10 work points, but we have had applications and applicants submit an application of 150 poles and 90 of those poles had to be changed out. So that's a significantly more work needed than what our typical, but that would be an outlier and we would work with the applicant and let them know that that time frame is going to be extended. It's going to take a little while to design that.
Okay, understood.
All right, any other questions? All right. So make ready work, Austin Energy Pole Attach Services, our group, determines if make ready work is needed. And that's done at that step where this is in field review. So they're taking the existing field conditions and they're verifying that pole that's in question, they're ensuring that whatever work is going to be performed is done, it can be done safely, first and foremost. And then whatever attachment is being made or work that is being done, it does not jeopardize the reliability of Austin Energy service, electrical service. So in section 6, this is part of what we've codified. All the work that is required to accommodate a licensee's attachment onto an AE pole has to be in accordance with our design standards and documents, which would be in accordance with the criteria manual. And then 6.4.1, the performance of make ready work shall be at the sole cost planning, engineering, construction of a pole replacement that shall be borne by that licensee. And I'll have, on the next slide, we'll go over an example of make ready, just kind of give some insight here. So this is a pole that Gatton had applied for and wanted to place a new attachment on this pole. So the field inspector goes out, takes a look at this pole. The right away, this clearance between Austin Energy's lowest power and the top communication cable, that clearance has to be at a minimum of 40 inches. So our top comm is at 46 inches already. So there's no room to move it up to make more space. The mid-span clearance, this is a long span that runs well over 250 feet. But this mid-span clearance was at 12 feet. So we can't lower the cable and we can't raise it to accommodate a new attachment. So the field inspector called out for this pole to be changed out to a 10-foot taller pole, which would accommodate a new Gatton attachment. So again, we base these make-ready decisions on those existing field conditions and maintaining these clearances both at mid-span and at the pole to ensure that when that pole is changed out and when we leave it, it's set and it's in accordance with AE's construction standards and our design criteria. Any questions to that?
What's the typical spacing of the comms on the pole? Is it 12 inches?
12 inches, that's correct.
Okay. And is there any room for variance on that?
No. No, that's in place for when we have folks climbing, AE staff climbing, or the communication companies climbing the pole, they need a space to slide their hands through as they're climbing up that pole.
Makes sense. Thanks.
All right, rules and regulations. I just wanted to provide some of the rules and that we use and that are most relevant, especially as it pertains to Gatton and other communication attachments. But all the attachments, so we utilize these rules and guidelines to, one, determine make ready, but ensure that any attachments being made are in accordance with all these documents, but also our processes. We want to make sure that we're following the rules that are laid out, in particular, that we treat all pole attachers in a non-discriminatory way. But this just gives you some links to those documents. I would encourage anyone in the technical subcommittee or Gatton's contractor to review Section 6 of the Utilities Criteria Manual. It is pertinent information. It's something that they should be very familiar with. And it lays out all the guidelines that are associated with making an attachment to Austin Energy poles, including our specs and our standards. And here's our contact information. Tina Little is our pole attacher services manager and interim shared services manager at the moment. Lucas Hayden is another distribution construction supervisor. He's actually over the application process. And again, my name's Oliver Higgs. I'm a construction supervisor within pole attacher services. I'm on the business operations side of our group. So I can assist with any escalations, any variance requests, any problems that are outside of a day-to-day operation. I have continued and will continue to encourage Gatton to reach out to me and bring any issues up as soon as possible, because the quicker you bring them up, the faster we can get them addressed. If they just build over time, then it's difficult sometimes to go back and look at something that happened a year ago or 6 months ago. But I really encourage anyone that has an issue or a difficult situation that they want to work through and discuss with someone, please reach out to me and I will get any of those issues resolved. We may not always agree on the solution, but they're fact-based and they're based on our policies and our rules. But we can do a better job of explaining that based on whatever scenario it is. So feel free to reach out. And that's all I got, unless there's more questions.
All right. Thanks, Oliver. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And with that, I'll turn it back to the chair.
Yeah, that was really good information. I appreciate that. Are those slides available to be distributed to the group here?
Yeah, I don't think there's any issue with that. And there were a lot of links on there to this. One of the questions that came up was, from where does this requirement to do kind of first in, first out come from? And that's in some of those links that are there. We shared the specifics with Frank, but I think those links are also in there. Is that accurate, Oliver?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we can share it. Unless there's no issue sharing that, Oliver, right? The deck?
No, that's fine. Yep.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you all coming today. This is definitely a relationship that makes that's really important to Gatton. And I also understand, Greg, that you've offered monthly meetings to meet with the Gatton management team to go over Gatton projects so that we can keep the communication going. I know that we've had some challenges. I think it was just you and Frank that were able to make a lot of those conversations, so, and Frank's not here. But I do look forward to an improved working relationship with Austin Energy, and we know how important your mission is to the community, and we also understand how important standards are. We also have a very important mission to the community, and we take our standards seriously as well. So I want to turn it over to the board and see if any of the board members have any questions or comments for AE while we have them.
Nothing at this time, but I think Gatton should investigate hiring some electrical contractors that are approved from AE to help with the make ready.
This is Steve. That's one of the questions I had. What's the qualifications? How would you become, from a Gatton perspective, a qualified electrical contractor that's on your list?
Yeah, so to become an electrical qualified contractor, we have a review process. They're pretty rigorous requirements, as you can imagine, working with high voltage. But we accept anyone. I'll share all the information to get someone qualified and all the documents if you have anyone in mind that you would like to submit through the process. But basically, we're looking for their background, their OSHA, safety reports, ensuring that we're not going to put anyone at risk by putting them on our system. And their experience. It's really what we're reviewing when we receive those documents, but it's in a form and they have to put everything associated with high voltage work. But I'll be happy to share that with you and the list of existing electrical qualified contractors.
Yeah, both of those would be great. Thank you.
Can I just send those to Sarah? Is that the best way to get information out?
That'll work. Thank you, Oliver.
Hey, Oliver. Okay. I'm sorry, Chris Gonzalez over at Brightcom. I do have a quick question regarding the authorized electrical contractor. Are their quotes the same as Austin Energy's? Because Austin Energy provides a quote. Are they held to those same, line item pricing, or do they quote every project differently? How's that handled?
Yeah, they have their own bid process. Each job's going to have a different bid unit associated with it, and each of those contractors are probably going to charge something different. They do not charge, at least what we're aware of, they do not charge the same amounts that Austin Energy would charge for any given project. Some they may be higher on, some they may be lower on, just depends on the job. Everything is very job specific. But it would be worth reaching out to get some of those quotes and estimates. You would have, and you can use some of the previous work requests that you've had in the past and base a quote off of that. That might be the best way to approach it. And get a estimate of what it might cost to just do a single pole change out. And you could run that by those six qualified contractors and see what that pricing is.
Okay, thank you, Oliver.
Any other questions or comments for AE? Okay, sounds like we're ready to move on. Thank you, Greg and Oliver, for joining. You're welcome to stay on and hang out as we continue through the agenda. Appreciate your time. All right, moving on to item number four, review and approve the minutes for the board meeting from August 2nd, 2022 in your packet. This is Dane. Motion to approve the minutes of August 2nd, 2022 as presented.
This is Jaime. I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of last board meeting. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Greiner.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Okay, thank you. Moving on in the agenda to item number five, consent agenda. Is there a motion for the consent agenda items?
This is Jaime. I'd like to motion approval of agenda item number five, consent agenda items that we discussed at the August technical subcommittee meeting.
This is Steve, I second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Greiner.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The consent agenda is approved.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to agenda item number six, board chairperson update. 6A is 2023 Gatton Board and Technical Subcommittee meeting dates.
Yes, in your handouts, you have the proposed meeting dates for 2023. They will continue to be on Tuesdays. The difference is that the physical location will be changing for the technical subcommittee meetings. They will now be held at the City of Austin's Permitting and Development Center at Highland Mall. Meetings will continue to be held in the hybrid format on Tuesdays, with the chair of the meeting being the only person required to be physically present at the meeting site, which is accessible by the public. All other participants will still have the option to participate remotely as long as they are adhering to the requirements of being visible and audible throughout the entire meeting. The AV requirement, as a note, is for voting members only and does not apply to non-voting members, i.e. alternates when the primary is present, contractors, or network management.
And this is Jaime, just to add to what Sarah is saying about the technical subcommittee meetings, LCRA had a conflict with the meeting dates. but the room at the permitting office is small. It could probably seat four people. So if we start to see a lot of people coming to the technical subcommittee meetings in person, we may have to reconsider, but it should be fine based on the way things have been going.
Sir, are you looking for approval today, or is it something that you want us to review and then come back and talk about next meeting?
I'm looking for approval today, if that is y'all's consideration.
Okay, and just to remind everybody that these can change and do sometimes change, these dates. So these are not necessarily set in stone once they're approved.
All right, this is Jaime. I'd like to motion that we approve the 2023 Gatton Board and Technical Subcommittee dates as presented.
This is John Griner with Austin ISD. I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the 2023 Gatton Board and Technical Subcommittee meeting dates as presented. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Leslie Connolly.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Griner.
Aye.
And Robert Sadler.
Aye.
The meeting dates are approved.
Okay, thank you. 6B, City of Austin Network Management Resource Request. at the request of Network Management, we're going to go ahead and punt, and we're going to discuss this one in October, if that's okay with everybody. So that moves us on to 6C, property damage claim against J.D. Abrams and Lone Star Paving. I'll kick it over to Gunner here.
Okay. And so there's not a need for an executive session unless somebody wants one. I'm just going to give you the general update, which is we are still waiting on word back from the subcontractor's insurance company. They had requested some additional information from us in terms of a written statement. We provided that to them. I had last heard from Mr. Macias, who's counsel for the insurer, at the beginning part of August, saying he was going to get back to me late August. I have poked him a couple of times since then and have not heard back, but I anticipate having heard something before the next meeting. So I would suggest, you know, we'll have this back on the meeting for October, and if we haven't heard anything by that point, then we may be asking for some clearance to move forward.
It was my understanding that we gave clearance.
Okay. Well,
we were ready to proceed. Anybody on the board remember differently?
Can't remember.
So let me check back with Sid on that. I think the last meeting I was here, we were kind of in a hold pattern, but I'll check with Sid. And if that's been given, great. And if not, we'll get it back on the agenda for next time.
Okay. Questions, comments from the board on that?
No.
Okay, moving on. Today's meeting is flying by. Agenda item number 7, network managers update. 7A is project status report.
This is Carlos. There is not very much to report in the last month. We have not completed any, nothing has been finished as of yet. So we are pretty much in a kind of a holding pattern for now. Does anybody have any questions?
Let me see. On the project status report, Gunner, DT has a project that requires a license agreement with Cap Metro. Has Sid mentioned any updates on that license agreement?
He has not. He's talked to me a little bit about that, but he did not give me an update prior to this meeting. Okay. I know he is working on it, but I don't have any specifics of an update.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So, Carlos, all of the A1N segments, they say awaiting AE approval.
Yes.
Based on the presentation that we just had from AE, where are we in that flowchart process?
Okay. I am not. some, I can't tell you that, Dane. That is a little bit, I will have to get that information for you.
If you could zoom in a little bit on that project status report, I'm looking at getting active projects, and the first, right below, you know, developer funded, the first 7 or 8 projects are all A1N segments, and most of them say awaiting AE approval. Is that an accurate status?
That is correct, all with the exception of segment 4 that was approved during this meeting.
Okay.
I just got the approval. So. Hey,
Carlos, yes, this is Chris. Yes, sorry to chime in. That approval was actually for Super Ring South segment 4, not A1N, just to clarify.
Sorry, it says A1 North 182 upgrade approval.
Okay, maybe I saw something different.
No, but, this is for segment 4.
Dane, to answer your question, a lot of those are in the electrical make-ready phase, the phase that had the 365-day duration. A lot of those A1, that's where it's at.
It's not that we're waiting for AE approval. It's that we're waiting for AE's crews to do the make ready.
Correct.
Okay. Can we get those the notes field updated with that accurate status?
And this is John Griner with Austin ISD. Maybe we could have them number that flow chart with step or where they're at in the procedure, or maybe a percentage of progress, so that we'd know where they are in the chart. If that's what we want to use as a guide, just an idea.
Yeah, just a quick note. And Oliver, you can maybe be the one to answer this. There was mention of there's no notification electronically, but there is a status sheet available. I don't know if the status sheet has kind of where folks are at in the process. Oliver, I don't know if you can answer that.
Yeah, it does. It would let you know the status of a work request. So if it has a status of release to AE construction, that means it's with our construction group to work. I'd be happy to share my screen again if y'all are okay with that to show you what this Gatton application status sheet looks like.
I think that there's value in that.
Agreed.
Else on screen.
Yep.
Okay, so this is a Gatton's application status sheet, goes back to 2016. This also houses every application that's been submitted, not the actual physical application, but your project numbers and project names and locations and time frames and the amount of poles you've applied for is all housed in this application status sheet. It's basically a Excel sheet on steroids. You can come in here and open up your current month, you can search by project name, but you can find that project, and it'll list the date that we received it, the date that we accepted it. And then as you scroll over, you'll see the date that it was assigned to a field inspector. The field inspection is complete. It lists out the amount of poles that are associated with that application, and then an application status, whether it's approved, canceled, denied, pending approval. It's pending approval. Typically, it's if you keep scrolling over, it's because there's a work request associated with it, and that work request is released to construction. So that's where this status can be found. It has the date that the application was closed or approved. And yeah, this goes back into all the poll counts, if any poll counts changed, what type of application it was it for a new attachment, an overlash, and then the person that submitted the application, their contact information's here. This is updated on the fly. Like I said, it's live view of where your projects are. And we can share it to anyone within Gatton that would like to view this. So if Sarah, you want to provide me a list of names and emails that would like to have visibility of this, we can certainly share that out. But it gives you a quick look at where some of those projects are.
Is that available via maybe a public SharePoint or anything like that?
No, not through a public SharePoint. Once you take it out of this, it becomes static, right? So you can export it any point in time and upload it on your side if you wanted to. It exports into an Excel document, but you lose that functionality of live updates.
Yeah, the platform itself is a smart sheet. You can see that's from the URL. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so there smart is a sheet. URL. Is that something, Sarah, that we could get on our SharePoint so any of the board or tech committee members can go and see in real time where we're at on some of these projects?
So I believe, Oliver, you have to give them access based on their email, and there's a link that they click on and they put in their credentials. Is that correct?
That's correct. So, yeah, if you send me that list of names and email addresses that would want to view this, I'll send – it'll be through this link, and then you'll have direct access to this document.
Okay. And, Dane, for your question, I could put that link on the SharePoint. I would just need to know who wants access to the document so I can send that information to Oliver.
I think that works.
Sarah, if you could send a poll. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Leslie, I saw you had your hand up. Did you have something for us?
Yeah, we're asking all the same questions I was going to ask.
Okay.
And well, quick note, when I send out that link, it typically goes to your junk box or your spam box. So just I'll let Sarah know when I send that out. So maybe you can send a notice to everyone saying that check your spam folder. You should have a Smartsheet invite.
Okay, fantastic. So for Carlos, I would like to see on our job status page, on our project status page going forward, the notes field mirroring what AE's status page says. So instead of saying awaiting AE approval, I'd like it to say it's been sent to AE construction so that we have a better idea of where it's at in the status, because saying that it's awaiting AE approval indicates to us that it's in that same first 45-day waiting period, which clearly is not the case. And also, I think, as Jaime mentioned earlier, the board is going to have discussions in the near future about possibly contracting with somebody to do make-ready for us. And this has all been very, very good communication, by the way.
I will try to mirror as much as possible from the smart sheets. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. And Carlos, were you sharing your screen previously?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We were on that project status page.
Yeah.
Okay, turn it over to the board for questions or comments on this agenda item. Okay, hearing none, then let's go ahead and move on to 7B, which is the job budget report.
This is Sarah. Currently, management is tracking 34 budget-affecting jobs, totaling $1.76 million. Our fiscal year just began on July 1st. Since the fiscal year began, we have completed 3 projects. They are there in green at the top. We have been invoiced for $111,000 approximately, so we have $1.65 million encumbered. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Okay, I'm not hearing any questions. We're going to go ahead and move on in the agenda. Agenda item 8 is executive session. That was not necessary today. Item number 9, updated roll call, also not necessary because we did not need executive session. Number 10 is discussion and possible action regarding the financial report and current fiscal year budget issues.
Yes. So as I said earlier, we began our fiscal year on July 1st. We started out our fiscal year with $1.694 million as our beginning fund balance. We've received $18,800 in revenue to date, namely that claim payout from Progressive for the damage that occurred at FM 620 and Low Water Crossing back in March. And then we have our $2.1 million of emergency set aside, so that brings the total fund balance to $3.8 million.
And the question for John.
Sorry.
Question for John at AISD. How is the budget process going over there?
It's looking a lot better. We're seeing the light, so to speak, on many levels. So I believe most of the POs for Gatton have been written and are created. If there's any remaining ones, Sarah, just let me know. I'll make sure they're pushed through. I think we're looking pretty good, though.
We're good. All the ones we needed have been issued.
Yeah, I think we're good related to Gatton. Keep working on our own budget.
Thank you, John.
Yes, no problem.
And yes, what I was going to say was the POs didn't get issued till the end of July, so that's why there are no expenses to show for this month. But for next month's report, you will see some expenses start showing up. And that's all I have. Please let me know if you have any questions.
All right, I'm not hearing any questions. Let's go ahead and take the next step. Item number 11 is meeting and action item summary. Carlos, did you capture anything today?
Carlos.
Other than the updates, hello?
Other than the updates yeah.
To the project status sheet, that's all I have.
For me, I'll be sending out a poll to see if members want access to the AE smart sheet. Once I receive the slides from today's presentation from Oliver, I will disseminate those to the board as well, or put those on the Gatton SharePoint and send an email out letting you know that they are there.
Excellent. Okay, last call, questions, comments?
Yeah, I think AE also committed to seeing if there were any which instances of repeat applications that were coming out of Gatton that kind of went through that loop multiple times. And then just the items around someone from Gatton, going to be you, Sarah, like sending the names of people who need access. Okay.
Yes.
And then for Oliver to then Oliver and team to grant access to the smart sheet. So yeah, that's what I had.
Just one comment for Austin Energy from John Griner. Just wanted to thank y'all for that great online resource of being able to see what the active status is on power outages and y'all's response. I know that's been a great tool for us being able to share that information with others that have concerns, and just for us to know, have that situational awareness. So thank you for that.
Good thing.
Okay, and with that, it looks like we're wrapping it up here. Item 12, confirm date, time, and location for the next regular board meeting. Back here at the LCRA Service Center or for Microsoft Teams for those of you remote. This meeting is adjourned at 2:24 p.m. Thank you all for your participation.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye now.